From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the psychic detective joins us. Here's what's happening. Tragedy in Kentucky today. A shooting at the Marshall County High School in Benton, Kentucky, has left at least two people dead, 17 others injured after a student opened fire. Now, during a news conference later in the day, officials said the shooter, a 15-year-old male student, was in custody, will be charged with murder and attempted murder. The 17 people injured were all believed to be students, according to the Kentucky governor, who added that 12 of them suffered gunshot wounds. The two people killed, including a 15-year-old female student who died at the scene and a 15-year-old male student who died at the hospital. Our condolences to those family members. CIA Director Mike Pompeo said that North Korea is moving ever closer to putting Americans at risk and that he believes leader Kim Jong-un won't rest until he's able to threaten multiple nuclear attacks against the United States at the same time. Dr. Jerome Corsi, author of Atomic Iran, with us. Jerry, the rhetoric continues. I don't know which way this is going to go. Do you?
Well, I think, George, we've got to take what Pompeo said today, the CIA, very seriously. I mean, there's got to be contingency plans that the Trump administration has to attack North Korea. Now, I think nobody is enthusiastic about it. It's going to be a disastrous war with casualties. North Korea can launch artillery attacks against South Korea. But I think President Trump, probably after the Olympics, is going to take a very serious look at it, because we do not want what happened in Hawaii recently to be a real attack. I mean, no president of the United States could tolerate that happening.
I mean, would Kim be that dumb to do a first strike?
I think he would, actually. I think, George, the problem is even an EMP attack, which is a nuclear missile exploded in the high altitude above the United States,
takes out the grid.
Takes out the electric grid. And, you know, we can't risk that. And look at the chaos that was caused in Hawaii by a false alarm. I mean, had that been a real missile attack, I mean, it's frightening to think what could happen. And no, you know, president, and certainly not President Trump, is going to allow that to happen. I've been acting, you know, saying constantly that a military action is the last option. But we may come to that, I think, after the Olympics.
All right, Jerry, we'll check in with you later. Jerry Corsi, Infowars.com. The Pentagon says it killed 150 ISIS fighters in an airstrike in eastern Syria while the U.S. federal government was shut down over the weekend. The airstrike took one of the last remaining pockets of ISIS control along the Euphrates River near the border between Syria and Iraq. As I was on the air last night with Stan Dale talking about the possibility of upcoming earthquakes, bam, a few hours later, Alaska gets hit with a 7.9 magnitude in the Gulf of Alaska, prompting authorities to warn of a possible tsunami in the area and all the way down to the U.S. West Coast, where the alert was finally lifted. But in Alaska, people packed into high schools and other evacuation centers after the quake hit shortly after midnight local time there. And now it continues to have many smaller earthquakes as well. Dire warnings of underwater cities and drowning polar bears are less likely to pan out now. That's the upshot of a new study in the journal Nature by top climate scientists. The study's conclusion says it is renewing hope that we may yet be able to avoid global warming exceeding 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. Climatologist Scott Stevens with us. Well, Scott, sounds like they're backing down a little bit.
Well, they are, and they kind of have to, because they have been preaching this since the Rio summit in 1992. And here we are 25 years down the road, and those forecasts that they have been pounding into us and saturating the media with haven't come to pass. And the big thing that they're learning is that their assumptions that CO2 and its lever it has in creating this greenhouse effect simply isn't happening. CO2 is plant fertilizer, and the levels of CO2 in this atmosphere have been far, far higher in the past, and the planet survived just fine. The other thing, George, as we know, the sun is the primary driver of the climate system.
Yes.
And the sun, we're in, what, day number two now without a single sunspot as we approach another minimum. And the last one was stunning in how many days we went without a sunspot, and we're beginning another stretch.
Goes in streaks. Scott, thank you so much. People who suffer from sleep disturbances in midlife or as they age may be more likely to develop cognitive impairment than people who usually get plenty of uninterrupted rest, according to new research. Scientists have developed a non-invasive blood test that can detect signs of 8 types of cancer long before any symptoms of this disease arise. Let's check in with Christian Wild, of course, author of many books, with his website, myheartbook.com. What an amazing discovery this is, Christian.
You're right, George. This is another promising major step forward in the war against cancer, like the breakthrough we discussed last year with the advent of immunotherapy. And haven't we all wondered how life-saving it would be if medical science could develop a test to detect cancer when it's at its very earliest beginnings? How many times is it not detected until it becomes symptomatic and advanced? How many times have physicians had to explain to their patients, if we only could have found it earlier? Think of the life-saving possibilities this breakthrough test might provide. Eventually, when it's finally approved, it could be added to our cholesterol tests that we get on our annual physical.
Amazing.
Once a year, huh?
And the cancers, of course, would be ovary, liver, stomach, pancreas, esophagus, colon, lung, and breast. That covers a lot.
And those 5 cancers, there is nothing to detect them now. So it's an incredible non-invasive blood test that uses DNA algorithms measuring the genes and proteins to detect the 8 specific kinds of cancers. And they do it at one time in one test.
Is this test ready right now for people?
Oh, it's tested out amazingly successfully, but it'll take probably a few years to go into full patient testing for the FDA, but the promising results so far. Dr. Len Lichtenfeld, Deputy Chief Medical Officer of the American Cancer Society, was so encouraged that the test did well with the 5 cancers, as well as the total of 8, that if a blood test could find a 98% of ovarian cancers at an early age, which these tests have already done, then the results would be significant and in significant advance. The researchers caution patients to not start asking the test from their physicians because the larger population studies like we're talking about are just beginning, and the test should be available in the next few years. It's on a fast track.
What's new at myheartbook.com, Christian?
Oh, we're in there studying, always looking at new things that can help people.
Good for you.
And nice to talk to you tonight, George. Thank you.
We'll be in touch. Christian Wild. Up next, what's going on in the skies these days? All kinds of things are happening. Gordon James Gianinotto joins me next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, attorney, contractor, ET contactee. Gordon James Gianinotto had many childhood UFO and ET encounters. He saw his first UFO back in 1964, a 1-mile diameter mothership launching 3 saucers over San Juan, Puerto Rico Harbor. He had his first vision of a pole shift in 1973 and a very long and detailed dream, and had a waking vision of the same thing back in 88. He realized a pole shift would bring open contact with ETs, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Gordon, good to have you with us.
Oh, it's great to be back with you, George. You're my favorite show. And I listen to you most nights because my wife and I have the day divided up. We live without plumbing and we heat with wood. So I've had to stuff that wood stove all night long. And the best way to do that is listening to you.
How are you feeling these days? You were having some eye issues the last time we talked.
Yeah, they're slowly getting better. Not as fast as I'd like them to, but they're getting better. And 2 years ago on February 29th, 2016, I nearly died of a blood clot in the lung, and I didn't want to travel. And you had invited me to come to Boulder to do an episode of
Beyond Belief. Yeah.
And now I feel I'm recovered well enough that I'd like you to book me anytime after April or May.
Okay, good. We'll let you talk to Tom about that. So what's whenever, new with you?
Whenever it's convenient, you know.
What are you researching these days?
Well, I'm full-time on Planet X, and boy, is there some interesting stuff happening, let me tell you. And the first thing that's most important, I guess, about that is that on this website, poleshift.ning.com, there's a place where you can post your Planet X pictures here. And people around the world send in pictures that they take all the time. Now, I don't want anyone to go outside and try and look at the sun. There were some bad experiences when people tried to look at the eclipse. We want to avoid that. But you can hold your cell phone up over your head and point it at the sun and take a picture and then look at it. And it's quite interesting. But there's more than that. For instance, the Zetas were the only ones, not even in all the ancient prophecies, the ancient civilizations, never mentioned there was a twin of the Earth on the other side of the sun. It's a burned-out cinder. It has no atmosphere, no life, no water. And when we stopped in our orbit because Planet X came around the sun going counterclockwise, and we were going clockwise. The Earth stopped in its orbit, and Planet X stopped in its orbit. Then Venus caught up, and it stopped in its orbit. And then the dark twin kept going around the sun until it came to the area of the Earth and then stopped in its orbit. Well, recently a webcam in Alaska took a picture of the afternoon sky that showed the dark twin of Earth bobbing above the horizon before sunset. And it was such a sharp picture that you could actually see the craters on the dark twin of Earth. And they don't match any craters on Mars, the moon, or anywhere else. And a fantastic picture that was just happened to be caught by a webcam.
Gordon, how big is this so-called Planet X?
Planet X is 29,000 miles in diameter. And the Earth is 7,500 miles, Venus is 7,400 miles, and the dark twin of Earth is 7,500 miles.
And what's Jupiter? What's Jupiter?
Geez, I don't know offhand, but it's a lot larger.
It's larger than the planet.
Oh, it probably could envelop all of us, and you wouldn't even notice it.
Okay, all right.
So, but what I keep saying, and I hope people realize that I'm one of the first people to publicly speak about this, that gravity pushes, it doesn't pull, and that's why Planet X is not going to collide with the Earth. That's why you don't hear any rushed astronomical meetings. We've got to do something about these stars colliding. We've got to do something about the moons colliding and galaxies colliding, and it just doesn't happen because gravity pushes, so everything's pushing away from everything else. So when Planet X on its little orbit, and what its orbit is it comes from the burned out binary twin of the sun, which science discovered but called Planet 9. God knows why. And they'll never see it because it's a burned out cinder, and it's so far away in the direction of Orion, nobody's ever going to go visit it or look at it. But that's what Planet X does. It goes back and forth between the twin of the sun and the sun. And when it comes through our solar system, it invariably, but not always, causes pole shifts, sometimes better, sometimes worse. This one is going to be one of the worst ones. The crust of the Earth is going to shift over the North Pole of the core until the eastern tip of Brazil is the new North Pole.
Jeez. Plus huge earthquakes, no doubt.
Well, they're all going to be 9s or 10s, and that's this increase in earthquakes and volcanoes recently. The Zetas... Now, the Zetas are human, unselfish extraterrestrials. There are selfish Zetas, but I'm talking about the unselfish ones. And they live in space because they destroyed their planet. And they started cloning themselves, and then the cloning started failing. So they checked Earth DNA, and lo and behold, our DNA and their DNA is a complete, perfect match. So they've bred a new hybrid race. So on my radio show, which is on every Friday night for 2 hours once a week, I talk about open contact with ETs, the coming apocalypse, the change to dimensions, we're going to a higher frequency, and the new race. And the new race is half Zeta and half human. People will look like normal humans, except a little bit sleeker, a little bit thinner. And they'll live 400 years and have IQs of 300 and be completely telepathic. And they'll still get married and have sex and have gardens and play music. And
what's the reasoning for this increase in longevity and intelligence?
Well, that's their contribution. And our contribution is emotional character, because they thought, well, the reason why they destroyed their planet was they let emotions get a better grip on them. So when they decided to clone themselves and become space traveling, they designed a perfect space traveling body, which is smaller. You don't have a digestive system. You don't even have a voice box. They just telepathically contact each other. And so they're going to be sharing that with us. But what we're sharing for them is emotions, because they thought, oh, all emotions are bad. People get greedy. They get angry. They get selfish. We've got to do something about that. Let's just cut out the emotional nature and empathy, too. Cut it all out and not have it. Well, now, upon studying us for a while, they realized that that there's good emotions and bad emotions, and the goal is to have emotions and have good ones. So we're sort of benefiting them. They're benefiting us. And my wife is one of the women who's gone up and had hybrid children, and they've invited her back into motherships to see her children and play with them. And one of her daughters even said, would you like to take a trip around the solar system, and took her on a flying saucer from the mothership out around Mars and back. And she wasn't really interested in what she saw on Mars. She was more interested in getting to know her daughter.
Any pictures of this incredible journey?
No, wouldn't that be nice?
Oh, my gosh, it sure would be.
I've had flying saucers approaching me while I have a Nikon camera with Tri-X film in the camera, loaded, ready to shoot a picture. I've shot pictures of saucers approaching me, and then I've developed them myself because I was a professional photographer in New York and L.A., so I know what I'm doing. And the only frames on those films were the blank. The only ones of the saucer were blank. So they really didn't want me to have a picture. I can only conclude that.
Where are these ETs now, Gordon?
Well, they're all around us on the fourth dimension. So they could walk through the room. They could park a saucer where your car is while your car is still there, and you wouldn't see it. It's a different frequency.
Would you run into it? Could you feel it?
No, you couldn't. And my wife is very unusual in that she can see on the fourth dimension, so she can see Zetas. I can't see them, but we both can talk to them. But I get clear messages, and they send pictures, so you have to be able to almost guess what they're saying to you. But usually I ask them to help other people, and a lot of people said, why don't you ask them to help you? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just didn't seem right. But a lot of times they answer me immediately, no matter what time of day it is, no matter where I am, no matter how many people are around, I can ask a question, and they'll put the answer right in my head instantly. So, and I hear dead people, too, and my wife sees second-dimensional dead people and hears them talking to her, although she doesn't really care much for that. And she can see on the fourth dimension, but I can hear dead people talk to me, and which I don't really care that much for either.
Why does it bother you?
What?
Does it bother you?
Well, no, it doesn't bother me. It's just that these people really don't know anything. If somebody's going to speak to me in my head, let it be an angel or some advanced extraterrestrial, please. You know?
Maybe it's somebody who needs to get a message to somebody, Gordon.
Well, I'm doing okay. I have this natural ability to measure things with my heart. So if somebody says something, it just feels right or it doesn't feel right.
All right. Well, Gordon, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk more about what's happening to the planet, this wobble, this increase in the volcanic activity, and so many more. Plus, again, your personal contact with ETs. Lots going on. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Gordon as well, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And again, he is an attorney, contractor and ET contactee, and apparently so is his wife. We'll be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Gordon James Gianinotto, as we talk about these incredible encounters. I want to hear a little bit more also about the wife's encounter. These are remarkable, and that the fact that she can see into that different realm. How does that happen, Gordon?
Well, she has a history of being physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually abused, mostly by her family. And she's like the black sheep. And as a result of all these different experiences, many of them too awful to even mention,
yes, I understand.
She's developed the antenna. And she can sense stuff that... and then there's this guy, there's this website, iCheckYourSoul.com, and we went there and we had readings, and it turns out we're both millions of years old, very old souls. And she's a wanderer, which means she has a contract to come here at this time to bring light and love with the Creator. And I'm a starseed who came here from another solar system. But I told you how we met, right?
Tell us again.
Okay, well, it's, see, now...
Probably on a craft somewhere, right?
People don't think that you can actually materialize your thoughts, but... I decided to teach myself telepathy in 1988 to contact unselfish ETs. I mean, 1968. So for 20 years, I would go out and look up in the sky and I'd say, I know there's the good, the bad, and the ugly up there, and I don't want to meet the bad or the ugly. Just send me some good ones. And I kind of was hoping for somebody from the Pleiades. But anyway, on December 7th, 1988, about 7 o'clock at night, I was driving towards Bangor, and I got a voice in my head very clear. We're on a ship or we're coming to take you on board. And just as that was being said in my head, clearly, just like somebody was sitting next to me, a ship zoomed in from, it seemed like outer space, going the speed of a meteor, and then it slowed down, and then it was directly above the car. It was a 150-foot disc with a flashing red, white, and blue light at the bottom and the top center. And I go, oh, our national colors. And it had two pontoons squished into the lower side of the disc so it could float on the ocean, it looked like. They were about 30 feet in diameter and about 100 feet long. And they had big railroad train, kind of big white headlights at the end of each sausage, I guess you could call it, a pontoon. And so I went on board and I met an ambassador from the Pleiades, and I spent 4 hours talking about the future. And he was dressed in a white robe, and he looked like... blonde hair and blue eyes. But the thing was, is he could walk down any street in the world and people would think he was from Earth. Hmm. But anyway, after that, I talked to a psychic who reads the Akashic Record, and she said, you know, you've never had a partner on your wavelength. Why don't you ask the ET brothers to help you find one? So I thought, yeah, why not? So I'm 6'2" and I'm half Scottish and half Sicilian. And I thought, I know exactly what I want. I want a girl who's half Scottish, half Scandinavian, red hair, blue eyes, 6 feet tall, psychic, sees UFOs, loves animals.
You're not asking for too much, Gordon, are you?
Especially, well, I thought, you know, I thought, as long as I'm asking, why don't I be specific? I don't, you know, somebody asked me, is this girl real? You know, or do you just dream her up? You think she's there, but she isn't there. And, a year later, I went out to lecture on UFOs, and I met her, and she suggested we climb a mountain, and we did. And the next day, I was home, and I was thinking, I'm not driving an hour and a half to date this woman. So I went over. I didn't know where she was, and I found her, and I said, you're moving in with me. Now it's 28 years, going on 29.
Wow. Love at first sight, I guess, huh?
And she's 6 feet tall. She's got reddish blonde hair. She's half Scottish, half Swedish. Blue eyes, great sense of humor, artistic, sees UFOs, and she's psychic.
And she gets you.
Yeah. So
that's
the
important.
Two of us can just spend all day long just talking to each other and not really need, I don't need a break from being with her, and she doesn't need a break from being with me, although sometimes I'm too intense and she does need a break.
Now, Gordon, these Earth changes, are they the direct result of Planet X?
Yeah, so all of them. And what's happening is that during the day, as the sun rises over the Atlantic, there's a mid-Atlantic ridge, and there's an upwelling of iron in the center of the ridge, and it goes from Iceland to Antarctica. So it's sort of like an iron bar pasted on a beach ball. And as the beach ball turns and there's a magnet draws closer and closer and closer, it starts to grab, the magnet magnetically grabs the line of iron in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, and there's a little bit of a lurch. But what it does is it pulls Iceland down towards the sun. So you get the sun sitting over the North Atlantic every single day. And normally, Planet X is on its side with its north pole pointed at the equator, which is why the sun is so quiet, because the south pole of Planet X, which is an extremely magnetic planet, it's 23 times the magnetic field of Earth, it's sucking up the loose magnetrons from the sun, so that's why the sun is so quiet and nobody can really explain it. You know, they keep saying, well, this is a maximum, this is a minimum, but they're all wrong. And anyway, so it's the North Pole is pointed at the Earth, so it pulls the sun over the North Atlantic. Well, no matter how long the sun is over the North Atlantic, you can't get a hurricane. And then as the Earth continues to turn and the sun sets over the Atlantic and is rising over the Pacific, the North Pole of Planet X does what would normally happen, which is push the North Pole of Earth away. So it pushes the North Pole of Earth away, and then the sun sits over the South Pacific, which is why you have one hurricane a year in the Atlantic, and you have 81, they call them typhoons and cyclones, in the Indian Ocean and the Pacific. But it's 81 to 1, that's the ratio. And nobody's questioning that, but that's because of Planet X on the Earth model. Well, there's a guy in Italy named Claudio, I guess, and he submits pictures to postshift.ning.com, post your Planet X pictures here. And he's been getting pictures of Planet X. He uses filters. His camera's on a tripod. He does this thing in the morning, and then around noon every day he goes out and takes pictures of the sun. For the last month, Planet X, instead of being at the 4 o'clock position next to the sun, not in a line of sight between the Earth and the sun, but just outside of that, lost in the glare where you can't really see it with your bare eyes, but a camera can record it. Anyway, it was always at the 4 o'clock position from the northern hemisphere and the 10 o'clock position from the southern hemisphere because, of course, those people are upside down. So in the last month, Nibiru, Planet X, has appeared in the 7 o'clock position, which if you think about a clock face with 12 positions, that's a 90-degree angle. Well, the Earth is prophesied by the Zetas, and as I've mentioned before, I'm friends with Nancy Leader, and she's the one who had a telepathic implant so she could take questions from the public, ask the Zetas.
Yeah, she's been on the program, Gordon, and you know, people will ask the Zetas a question through her.
Right, and so I'm good friends with her, and she calls me every day. If she takes a new question from the public, she reads it to me to correct for typos, which I really enjoy. And she also calls me up to be like a sounding board, and we discuss stuff. So we end up speaking, I'd say 9 out of 10 days, we're talking to each other about the latest. She's got over 40,000 pages of questions from the public and answers from extraterrestrials on that website, zetatalk.com. So anyone that's interested and loves to read, go there. They have their own internal search engine, and you can search for what it says. But they have prophesied in that text on zetatalk.com, they have prophesied that the Earth is going to be pushed over. So in other words, as Nibiru gets closer, now it's not going to hit because gravity pushes, but it is trying to go by us. That's what it's trying to do.
Is it inhabited, that planet?
Yes, it's inhabited with the Anunnaki. And I wanted to say the last pole shift was 3,600 years ago, and you had a guest on who was talking about 15 elongated skulls that were found.
Yes.
I think, what's his name, Leo Marzulli?
L.A. Yeah.
Yeah. So he said that there was a tribe in the Promised Land. The Nephilim had a tribe, and their cousins, the Anakim, had a tribe, and maybe some of them got on a boat and left. Well, that makes a lot of sense, because when the Jews left Egypt, then they went to Palestine. They didn't own it. It wasn't their land. They actually conquered and killed everyone in 3 different cities. It's interesting, if you reread the Bible, when they wanted to take down the walls of Jericho, the eternal host, now who is that? The eternal host said, okay, we'll tell you how to take down the walls of Jericho, but you got to promise us that you'll give us every single piece of silver and gold within the city. So they killed men, women, and children, everyone. They took all the silver and gold and they gave it to the eternal host. Well, what kind of eternal host wants all those people killed so they can get the silver and gold?
Now, Gordon, Nibiru, it sounds like exactly what Zechariah Sitchin has described.
It is. It is exactly. His timing is a little bit off, but 3,600 years ago, when the Jews went to Palestine, it's possible that some of those giants who were descendants of the Anunnaki said, the hell with this. These Hebrews are pretty violent. We can't live here. And they might have all gotten on a boat and gone to Peru. So I can't wait till February 2nd. I love your shows. Sometimes I get so excited all of a sudden jumping around because I want to know more right now, you know.
Now, is the planet in any danger from these earth changes?
Yes, we're in great danger. And what's going to happen is that because Planet X is getting closer and it's pulling on the Mid-Atlantic Ridge iron bar more, it's pulling down. Then as it goes across the United States and into the Pacific and it pushes the North Pole away, it's going further. So these pictures by Claude show a 90-degree wobble. 90 degrees is huge because if you go past 90 degrees, you're going to go upside down. And that is, in fact, what the Zetas have prophesied. There will be 6 to 9 days of the Earth upside down. Now, you won't really...
We won't feel it, right.
You wouldn't feel it at all. But at night, when you go look for the North Star and the Big Dipper and Polaris, you'll find the Southern Cross and Zeta Reticuli instead of the North Star.
You're upside down, right?
Yeah, we would be upside down. Huh. In other words, if you look at the whole solar system, if you could stand up on a table and reach up and grab the whole solar system and put it down on the table, the North Pole of all the planets points up, including the North Pole of the Sun. And the North Pole of our planet is from the core. It's not from the crust. And the crust floats on the iron core. Even though granite is 200 pounds a cubic foot, it actually floats on molten iron. So the crust can slip. But it's not free to slip yet. But when it gets more force, it will. And the noise of that will be just mind-boggling. But so we may go upside down. Now, that would mean that the sun would rise in the west. Now, the Council of Worlds, which is a group of 1,000 unselfish extraterrestrial races who came here to slant this whole operation for success, this is not just a tribulation. This is a graduation to a higher frequency. So all the good, unselfish, empathetic, and kind people in the world will all be rewarded. The selfish people, the really selfish ones, are going to go to prison planets where everyone is more selfish than they are. And they're going to have to spend maybe 1,000 lifetimes there. And if they show even one act of kindness, if somebody trips and they go to help them from falling, that would be a death sentence. So it would be a cruel world, but it would be the ultimate visualization of what they've always imagined. And then the rest of the people, about 60% of the people, are going to be reborn as sea creatures on watery planets, because that if there's one way in which mankind went wrong, it's possessions. And so if people are born as sea creatures and don't have any possessions, then they might progress a lot further towards being kind and empathetic and living by the golden rule.
And when do we start seeing these major events, Gordon?
Well, this is already happening. Big stuff is happening. First of all, most people don't realize that the Arctic ice field, which, you know, it seems like it's all iced in, right? It doesn't move. It's been rotating clockwise for centuries. And now all of a sudden, last year, a year ago, it stopped rotating, and then it started rotating the other way, counterclockwise. So, you know, you can't attribute that to global warming.
Now, does the science know this?
What?
Do scientists know this?
Oh, yeah, you can look it up, sure.
They don't say anything about it, though.
No, because they can't explain it. That's their problem, you know? I love that guy. I got to tell you this. You have a woman that wrote a song that you sometimes play about, I didn't know I had aliens on the roof.
Well, actually, that's a guy.
Well, anyway.
That's UFO Phil.
A woman. I thought it was a woman. But anyway, I love that song. I'd love it if you played it at the end of every show. It's just such a great, song. It really sums up.
It's my Friday nighter.
You can learn. And then you have another thing you play where this guy goes, Jack, he goes, there's no proof of anything. There's no hard evidence.
Oh, yeah. That's in our segments at Guests and People on Hold Here, which is what you just
and,
heard.
The thing is the Council of Worlds is the unselfish ETs. The first ETs to contact the government were their selfish Zetas. And they made a rule, whenever you're on another planet, you've got to follow the local government rule. They made a rule that no unselfish ETs could contact anybody without giving them a list of who they contacted. And the last time they had that list that was submitted to MJ-12 was 1982, and Nancy Leder saw Janet's name on it.
Is Nancy still in touch with the Zetas, right?
Oh, yeah, every day, yes.
Is there any concern? Are you concerned about the safety of your friends and family?
Well, you know, I tell everybody that now's the time to make the move to a safe location. That's right at the top of the ZetaTalk.com, is safe locations. I live in a small cabin without plumbing, heated with wood, on the top of a mountain in the middle of the main coast that's going to become an island because the new sea level is going to be 700 feet higher than it is now.
Do you have a boat up there?
I have three boats, yeah.
You're going to be like Noah.
But Janet and I have worked on commercial fishing boats, and so we love the ocean. And that's why I'm here, is because right now it's 2 miles away. When the pole shift happens, it'll be about 1,000 feet away. And I'm going to go jig for squid at night with a flashlight. I'm going to catch crabs and lobsters. I'm going to eat flounder and bluefish and mackerel.
Well, you're all ready. You've got it all planned out.
I do. I've been dreaming about this since the 60s when I first found out about Edgar Casey saying there was going to be pole shift. And that rang true in my heart, and I just kept following it. And I read Zechariah Sitchin when that book came out, the first one, The 12th Planet. And then Hapgood's book on tectonic plates and Velikovsky on worlds in collision.
Oh, yeah. Great story. Well, hold on, Gordon. We're already at the top of the hour. Next hour, we're going to open up the phone lines to give everybody an opportunity to chat with you about these earth changes, about the Zetas, and about so many other things. Incredible story. Incredible story. And later on in the program, I'll be talking with Elena Diva Prophet about her world as a psychic detective. So all that and much more just ahead for you on this special Tuesday night into Wednesday on Coast to Coast AM.